Before we get started, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It only takes a couple of seconds, and most likely you're probably on either one of those apps this very moment. A little bit of effort on your end goes a very long way in getting this podcast to as many people as possible. We're all on this journey of awakening and self-discovery. Let's help some other people tune in and listen to these authentic, connected, inspiring conversations. I won't talk your ear off anymore. We got a great episode, and here it is. Welcome to Opening Presence, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Malik Coburn. He's a DJ and outdoor educator, originally from Chicago, Illinois, but currently based in Portland, Oregon. In this conversation, we discuss what it was like growing up in Chi-Town and his earliest experiences being drawn to the beauty of ecology. We also dive into the simple things that we can do every day to create homeostasis within ourselves. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presence. Welcome to Opening Presence. My name is Aaron Robinson. I am blessed and grateful on this beautiful summer day in Portland, Oregon. I am joined by my brother, Malik Coburn. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Feeling very blessed to be here on this beautiful day. You know, listen to some beautiful music, aka the birds chirping, crickets cricking, water dripping, you know.
You're a poet, man.
You know, try to get it in when I can.
Push and pee?
All day.
You're definitely quick. I've observed you in conversation with others and just with myself, and your brain is operating on light speed.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I like to think that's a part of my upbringing in Chicago, Illinois. You know, it's a city often referred to as the go. So I go sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, let's start there. Like, what was growing up in Chicago like, and what do you feel like the city gave you, and what is uniquely Chicago that others may not know because we are in this cultural landscape where there's so many influences, but I feel like Chicago is one of those places that is, like, innate when it comes to addressing and analyzing culture.
I love that question. I'd like to shout out, Chicago was also just noted as number 2 best city in the world by some, you know, bloggers. You know, that's what the internet told me. But growing up there was very interesting. It was just a place where there was enough density and space and diversity within that density and space that catered to people being able to see different walks of life through music and food and events, cultural things from all, you know, different backgrounds. There's not a background I could think of that I haven't met a person from said background. And my upbringing was special. I'm thankful I had both my parents in my life and a supporting cast of uncles, aunts, grandparents, and the sort, friends. I met in many different scenarios. So I grew up going to Catholic school from kindergarten through 6th grade. While doing that, through adulthood, I was going to Baptist church on Sundays after Catholic school, Monday through Friday, and then Jewish day camp in the summer for quite a few years. So, and I grew up in Hyde Park, by the way, 53rd Street, stand up. And I was able to see these different people of different backgrounds who like the same things I did for the most part as a kid, you know, having fun, playing games, being outside, and with all the different like creeds and styles of education within those different realms, I just got to see how different people think and would have to be present. Well, not have to, but I chose to be present in these situations because I wanted to have fun and play with my friends and meet new people and stuff, and eat many different kinds of food. And that was essentially what it was like growing up. It was a wonderful ecosystem. It was an ecosystem that is comparable, I think, in the Pacific Northwest to pretty much any of the trails you walk on. There's just all these different species of life coexisting in certain ways, competing in certain ways, and surrounding a person at any given moment that took his time to grow up and come up out the ground or stay under the ground and give us something nice to look at and ponder upon and give us some space and time to process things. So mm-hmm. I liken, I guess, Chicago to buildings and where I am now presently in this beautiful Portland, Oregon, with the trees and the trailheads. I like to think they're one and the same in some aspects, in that they just provide a sort of diversity that is hard to not pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, because it's easy to kind of just gravitate towards what is, I guess, more popular culture, like, oh, Michael Jordan, da-da-da-da, and everyone's just like, oh, yeah, like, obsessed about the same things. But I feel like you've been exposed to nature probably at an earlier age and kind of have a self-compass that allows you to kind of see the interconnectivity of more mainstream culture, but things that you are naturally gravitating towards. What are some of the off the beaten path type of influences that you had early that kind of resonate today?
Mm. Well, thinking about nature, as far as, I guess, being off the beaten path, my introduction at the young age was with, it was two specific situations I could recall. My great-grandmother, Ruth, rest in peace, she had little tomato plants in her background. And I kind of always thought it was cool. You know, the background was paved and stuff like that, but there were these edges that were full of tomatoes. And, like, that, to paint a picture, yeah, there was the pavement in the background. It was in Inglewood, one of the neighborhoods that gets varying rep. I think it's a wonderful, beautiful community. Shout out to Grow Greater Inglewood. But my grandmother, she had these tomatoes. I thought it was cool. They taste good. She cooked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And doing some, you know, weeding sometimes with my grandmother, my great-grandmother Ruth, and plant care was an opportunity for us to spend time when I wasn't, you know, sitting in my room playing Nintendo for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. You know, and it stuck with me. And she passed when I was at a very young age, so I just try to hold on to every memory, and that happens to be one of them. And the other one is I went to a Japanese butterfly garden in Jackson Park with my mom and sister. I might have been 10-11 years old. Yes, about 10 or 11 years old with my mom and sister, Maya and Kim. And I got stung by a bee. I got stung by a bee going through this garden with all these nice fountains and stuff like that. And it kind of made me not want to go outside. But anytime I would think about that memory, yes, I did get stung by a bee, but I seen a landscape that it was just very foreign to me. And I was enticed by that in some ways. But after that, I spent a lot of time roaming the streets, city, friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
save money, we here. And what was the second part of the question? I want to...
What were the factors or the things about Chicago that are unique to Chicago, the mm-hmm. contributions to this worldwide landscape?
Because,
you guys call Chicago the crib.
It's the crib.
And then whenever I say something, you'll say, bet it up. I'm uh-huh. like, where the hell does bet it up come from?
Bet. Yeah. You know, bet. I thought that was a New York thing. I ain't even say it for a long time, but it stuck recently. We used to say for show a lot. But bet also, But the unique things, we do call it the crib. We do call it the crib. It's interesting now that I think about it, because the crib is this place of comfort, but it's also this place that's like a cage or some shit that you can't get out of or something like that. And when in that sort of crib, I think certain kinds of development happen faster, given the proximity of things. And this is leading me to need to think a little more, because this is a good question. This is a very good question. Within every crib, there's a lot of, I guess there's corners and crevices and pockets and that sort of thing. And Chicago provided those with, I think they got the most parks per capita or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like neighborhood parks. I grew up going to Nichols Park a lot. And these parks would be intertwined within neighborhoods and where all the main streets are a lot of the time. And were great places of gathering where people could seek refuge amongst the whatever was going on outside the park. However, on the contrary, there's a lot of parks that have, you know, had historically had bad reps as a result of people seeing it as a place for not so positive things, you know. But they were always accessible, it felt like. So, yeah, there was a stark contrast from block to block between residential neighborhoods, but then within those you find yourself a park or an empty lot or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where did kind of your sense of, like, curiosity to explore beyond Chicago begin? Because a lot of people you probably know that have never left the city,
mm-hmm.
and I think we all have those friends that have kind of just kicked it at home and have never really ventured outside of it. And like, obviously, like, home is like a place of comfort, and it's almost like it's nurturing, but then to a point where it's like it's not helping you anymore. It's like, you're already a grown ass man, why are you eating baby food still?
Whole time,
type of thing. So where did that kind of curiosity begin, of like, hey, I want to go experience other places and other people?
That experience, that curiosity to experience outside of Chicago, I think came a lot from my mom and dad sometimes would take me on little trips outside the city to show me things, because they know what the streets have to offer, and they didn't want to see me go fall victim to the different offerings that the streets have. Though didn't shelter me from it, but I remember specifically a trip. I was with my dad Michael and my cousin BJ, Uncle Eric. We went to Vegas and California. We like 12, 13. Our dads, you know, they out having fun, but we stayed in the house playing video games. But we got to see these different landscapes, seeing Disneyland and stuff like that. And another trip, it was always Disneyland. I went with my cousin Dallas and my auntie Kim. On this trip, very young, mind you, I'm going on rides and stuff, but I really just want to play Pokemon, play Game Boy and stuff. But it was warm. That was cool. That was exciting. And those trips led me to want to explore more. And then it continued through high school, in those ages where a young mind can be very susceptible to many different things. And in a city like Chicago, or any city for that matter, there's a lot that one can get into that's, you know, not so positive. And it led to, it proved itself, you know, losing friends and that sort of thing was something that just added fuel to a fire for me to want to do more things. And in high school, I actually joined the Kappa Leadership Institute of Chicago, formed and sponsored by Cap Alpha Psi.
You joined the step team?
I ain't joined the step team, but that was them dudes. That was who was, like, doing it. And I got, you know, friends, families, acquaintances in all different Greek organizations,
mm-hmm.
of the Divine Nine. And this organization, the Kappa Leadership Institute, also known as Kappa League, they would take us on college tours, and they had us doing, like, standardized test prep at our freshman and sophomore years, and real good discipline stuff to essentially get kids out the hood a little bit, you know? Sure. And it was a privilege. And they just took us around and showed us all these different things and introduced us to different people who showed us that we can thrive within and outside of Chicago. And I'm not saying this for anybody to not go to Chicago or stay in Chicago. Like, it's a wonderful place. It has everything you need or want, I feel like. But it's nice to see different things sometimes, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. I haven't been to Chicago yet, and it's definitely, like, on my list. Like, one of my best friends lives just outside of Chicago. And it's so funny because when anyone says they're from Chicago, they're like, well, actually, it's the suburbs of Chicago. I was like, I get it. Like, I'm from San Diego, but I don't live in downtown San Diego, like, next to the airport. Like, I live in northern San Diego, like, by the beach and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, it's the same thing. We completely understand. If whatever the closest big city is to you, that's where you're from, essentially. Unless you're from, like, the country or whatever. But important question, what is your favorite Pokemon?
My favorite Pokemon? Ooh, so I've downloaded emulators on my phone to replay Pokemons, like, I say at least once or twice a year, just to get back in that mode, you know, where it's like a person on their journey, you know what I'm saying, with their team, trying to make it happen, you know?
That's a long-winded answer.
My favorite Pokemon is, like, my favorite Pokemon to start with or overall?
Just like swag.
First 150? Yeah. First 150?
Yeah.
All right, keep it basic. I like it because I don't know past, like...
I didn't know that there was, like, an original 150.
Probably 1,000 Pokemon. It's 151 because Mew counts. Mew.
Okay.
Mew. It was 151. But my favorite, who I'm trying to think of who I always had to have on the team, because it, like, I'm trying to think who I never take out and put in the computer. You know what I mean? In the box. You know what I'm talking about?
See, I didn't do the computer stuff. I just did, like, the cards.
All right, Pokemon cards. My favorite Pokemon card is one of them dragons, just because they...
Like Charizard?
Nah. I love Charizard, but I'm trying to think of who... can learn all the moves for the most part and then also not be susceptible to regular elements, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Fire, water, thunder, blah, blah, blah. And what comes to me repeatedly is Gyarados.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because that journey is serious. Like, Magikarps, Pokemon that don't have no attacks. It got splash, you just splash, nothing happened. That's the famous saying, nothing happened. That's what they say. And they learn tackle, you know, but they can't get experience in an actual, like, battle or something like that until somebody puts them in position, they put them in, show them, take them out. Mm-hmm. They get that experience. They got to see that. And then they get to grow into this dragon named Gyarados that is like, it goes from a little fish that looked like a little, like a goldfish snack until this blue, big, like, dragon. And this dragon can learn all the moves. You could surf on it. It might be able to fly. And it can learn all the moves.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Gyarados is my favorite, like, overall.
He looks cool. He looks like he got some moves. I remember my mom used to take me to, like, the card shop and, like, get the Pokemon cards. And I remember, and it may be a figment of my imagination, but there was a card called Blaine's Arcanine.
Oh, yeah, Arcanine. I was thinking about Arcanine.
Arcanine's lit. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
Growlithe, yeah. And Arcanine.
Yeah, it looked like a tiger mixed with, like, a Rottweiler. Mm-hmm. It was like a dog-looking thing on fire.
Yeah, you get on Cinnabar Island.
Yeah. But, like, that was probably, like, my favorite card of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just, like, represents, like, wanting to be, like, identified with, I don't know, like, cool shit. Just like, oh, like, I like similar to cars and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I love 96 Impalas. Like, that's me right there. Like, I've been fantasizing about, like, a G-Wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I want the G63 with the big meaty tires and wanting to be able to pull up to a nice hotel lobby and still, like, and have it clean, but then also being able to, like, backpack and take it off-roading and all that kind of stuff. Because I see, like, G-Wagons all over this city. This city has so many G-Wagons, but nobody does it right. Like, it's not done right, like, the way that I would particularly do it. But even like since a young age of like identifying with things that we resonate towards naturally. And I feel like that's always going on like throughout our lives is certain creations within culture are, I don't know, kind of like guiding us when we don't have, say, like mentorship, because you were expressing that you have like a you had like pretty big family and then you were in this leadership program and people taking the time to influence you and to help guide and steer your direction. And it's like when that's not there, kids either get mentorship from the streets mm-hmm. or people around them, or kind of force mentorship on proximity of like who's around you. And it's almost like it's a wonder how like all of us humans are like maturing through life with mm-hmm. all these different influences. And a lot of it is chance at mm-hmm. the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can get lost in Pokemon or whatever game to spend time with, and that's your babysitter, that's mm-hmm. your mentor, that's the thing mm-hmm. that's like holding you into a safe space until you meet like the final boss of the real world, when you step mm-hmm. out and you have to use your weapons and the things that you've learned along the way, whether that's a boss at a job or a teacher or a situation that's happening in your life. What do you feel like are the skills and talents that you possess, that you've cultivated over the years, that you're able to use today as an adult? And what are some of the things you feel like you can work on as well? I don't know how I just weaved Pokemon into that question.
Bro, we finna weave it back, bro.
Let's go.
Because check this out. When you play Pokemon, it's you could beat the game. You beat all the bosses. And you go to the Elite Four, and you know you go against all these people. But once you beat the game, only thing you could really do is get better. You could get more Pokemon, and then you got to go battle these four same people again. And it's just like that final boss keep coming. It's gonna keep coming, and it might not get stronger, but it's like you can bring a different team with you every time, or a different set of skills. Something like that to face this final boss again, which is again why I love Pokemon, because there's just this everlasting opportunity for improvement,
for sure.
You know what I mean? And the skills, I think I have the biggest one that always comes to me is it's something around adaptability, something like that, kind of like a succulent plant or something like that, some type of cactus or something like that, that can thrive in a lot of conditions, or it can like take a lot of or receive a lot of not neglect per se, but you don't have to look at it every day or do nothing every day mm-hmm. and it'll be fine for the most part. So that's a skill, just being able to like read a room kind of. I guess I learned early how to pick up on energies and decide whether I need to be in a certain space or not. You know, and these have like been life and death experiences. You know what I mean? Just whether I stayed an extra 5 minutes or came 5 minutes early or whatever. But if I am in a place, being present and reading a room, and that might be why the quickness is there from me, because it's like there's a sense of one could say is being hyper aware, unless you are in a space where the hyper aware is the norm. And with all the, you know, skills, all just two sides to every coin, y'all. I do think those are the skills, though. Just reading the room, adaptability, and I feel like I could always find something to talk to somebody about, mm-hmm. just because I'm inadvertently sizing somebody up anytime, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And we all do it, you know what I mean? In our own little ways, sizing people up. And by sizing people up, I mean observing the characteristics of a person to develop a expectation per se. Some might call it judging, right? And everybody, well, that's for another time. The skills, adaptability, being able to read a room and finding a topic of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I recognize in all the people from Chicago that I've met or come across, like, have a no bullshit, like a bullshit meter. It's like y'all can sense it out, like with the quickness. It's just like, nah, that's not it. And there is just like a hyper awareness of the moment. There's not like willingly like distracted type of thing. Like you're not gonna get caught slipping in any type of situation. Like I know you, like yeah, I know some people that do get caught slipping from Chicago, but for the most part, there is a presence and an awareness that you may not see in Portland, Oregon. That motor function of just being here with us is something that's not inherent in Portland. And here it's like escapism on 10. It's like, oh, I can just go through life without kind of being accountable to things and just like bumping into the curbs and not parking properly or whatever as a metaphor. Mm-hmm. But the awareness of knowing where we are in time and space for a means to like protect oneself, obviously. But I feel like to allow space for like the gifts and who do you share your gifts with? At that point, because it's like if somebody isn't able to receive what you have to offer, then it's just taking energy away from me to try to impart this wisdom or this energy onto you. Mm-hmm. So I think what I recognize in you is just like, oh, like this is a place where like my message and my wisdom is going to land. So therefore, I'm going to like be open like with these types of conversations.
Mm-hmm. It's for real. I mean, yeah, it's something I think about a lot. Thank you for putting it into those words. I feel seen. I do want to say, too, like, as far as, like, a couple things came up. One, as far as the slipping goes, I say a lot of people, I speak for myself and maybe other people can relate, that I think is a Chicago trait in me is that if I am slipping, it's because I was doing something I didn't need to do that I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing. You know, it's almost like a self-inflicted wound or something like that. So it happens, you know.
It always happens. No, like I still catch myself, but right. It's just like it always comes back. What I found recently is that it's all just like a learning experience to get back to self-love.
All day.
Because it's always like this thing where we sell ourselves short and we compromise and we try to take the shortcut to pleasure or whatever. And it always gives us pain and we still keep touching that stove. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, all right. Like, it didn't burn enough. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. It has to burn so deeply to really mm-hmm. completely shift the perspective. And mm-hmm. and it's like you catch the warning signs a lot quicker the next time. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, now I have the same opportunity is going to present itself. And it's still going to be, like, tantalizing and alluring. But it's like, nah, I can see through it to the end. Mm-hmm. It just comes to the point of, like, analyzing and figuring it out and taking the power mm-hmm. even though it's like an open door and it's like, ooh, like what's on the other side? And mm-hmm. you're like, no, I'm going to put that to the side and I'm going to do my work, or I'm going to do the thing that isn't the sexy thing, but mm-hmm. it's the thing that I need to be doing.
Yeah. Hopefully you make the thing you need to be doing sexy though.
Yeah.
That's often, you know.
Most definitely. What do you feel like in this world, and I've been focusing a lot on like what can I give the world and all that kind of stuff, but what do you feel like you need?
What do I need? It's probably something that involves some sort of routine and some water, you know, some type of ritual and some water, because with those two there's never been a moment where I haven't found what I needed or made a decision or something like that. And it's fluctuated in process over years, you know. When I was, I guess, a kid, it was just video games, just go do it, go, you know, escape more or less, you know. Teenagers, it was porno, you feel me? That's what it was, shit. And maybe sports, you know. And as adult years approached, it came with, like, stretching and drinking water after like a couple little health bouts, sports injuries and indigestion and stuff like that from, you know, these are the self-inflicted things that I'm talking about. And creating a routine with those, because I know it will always ring true. If I want to get up and walk or, you know, be active or anything of that nature, I strongly encourage myself to prepare. I don't have to, because I haven't sometimes, and it has led to different problems, but not problems, but just scenarios to maneuver through in life. But yeah, just some sort of routine and making sure I got water close by.
Mm-hmm. What does like a good routine look like for you?
Mm. A good routine for me that I would say is universal is I like to keep a couple tea bags on me at all times, a nice large vessel of water, a cup that I could put the tea in. Could probably find hot water most places. And a place to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What time does routine have to be like super regimented, or just kind of like a like having all your bases covered type of thing? Because for me, like, it starts in the morning. It's like Monday morning. Monday morning is like the start, or actually Sunday night. Like Sunday night, and mentally preparing for Monday morning is like where. Like, I feel like the most inspiration, safety, and it's like a form of preparation and knowing that whether or not I have like, quote unquote, like important things to do, I'm going to treat it like it is important, even though it's like, oh, like I don't have a meeting set up, I don't have this and I don't have that. It's like, I'm going to treat it as if. Like I'm interviewing for like the GM for Major League Baseball or whatever the thing is. And Monday morning's always treated like that. And I think the momentum built from going to the, like waking up at 5, doing my meditation, going to the gym, like that first three, four hour block of the day is like all mine and just carving that out. Yeah. And then everything else that happens afterwards, it's like, I've already won. Like, I already won. Like, I woke up early. I centered myself. I worked out, got some exercise. I may not have a bunch of stuff for that day, but for when the time comes where, like, shit starts popping off, I'm already, like,
primed.
Yeah, I'm already ready to go. I'm already in, like, mid-season form, and I don't have to get ready for that. But then whenever I dip out of it, which is, like, sometimes, like, even it's, like, the weekend where it's, like, I'll roll up some tobacco, smoke a cigarette and do some mushrooms and I'll just be a little bit less structured.
Yeah.
But Sunday evening is always like, all right, like time to get to bed early, time to clean the space. Cause I love a clean space before I go to sleep. So I don't have to like do dishes in the morning or anything like that. Adding on new routines. Like I want to start doing like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like that's kind of like one of those things where I'm like, ooh, but how much does a membership cost? All right, it's $100 a month. Okay. So like gym membership, BJJ membership, how do I create a life in which I'm able to afford these things?
Those thoughts of the membership fees and all that stuff always come into play for me. Like, which I guess brings me to a need is just like, so we are presently at, we're in the back of Rhythm C HQ, AKA where the beat seller Journey in the Sound happens. My wonderful friends, Alana and Nick, Mia, Lucy, they're home. And I kind of want something like this just to get a start. It's just a nice house with some land in the back, you know, nice sun. Yeah, it's just space and that sort of thing. It's a housing thing for me. I grew up traveling a lot between households and that sort of thing, which I think catered to my development in a great way. You know, is essentially the grounds for which my skills come. But it's just like I kind of been craving that type of home stability a little bit, even if it's like an in-law or a tiny home in the backyard with a septic or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, like I resonate with that completely and wholeheartedly. Like having home or a place where you can really, really, really surrender to space and feel protected and not like somebody else's like vision of what home should be. You have to like kind of mirror what theirs is, and it's just like, no, like the way that I feel most comfortable is this. But if it doesn't align with someone else's and having to adjust what homeostasis feels for self for another. So I definitely resonate like with that. And it's almost like we can't fully like embark on that next journey until we feel like grounded completely. And I've been in various like states of transition, mostly due to like familial circumstances and and stuff like that, and kind of structures of home kind of being in like a ever evolving state. So I think the stability that I sought was like family, and that was something that was kind of like the missing piece for me, because it's like I've always kind of had like the shelter element of it like locked in, but then it was the people element that was missing for most of my life. And how do you like feel comfortable as you are without like deep meaningful connections and being seen from the people around you? So I think that's one of the things that led to me feeling very like unstable and just kind of like seeking safety in the arms of others that weren't really in a position to give me the safety that I desired in community. It was like almost being a burden at all times. And I'm just like, yo, like, I just need a hug, motherfuckers. Just like, can somebody like validate my brilliance? Cause it's like, I know like since I was young, I was like, oh, like I got something, but I don't know exactly what it is. But can these adults around me like pinpoint the thing that I'm putting out into the world so then I can have a little bit more direction? So I think that safety component has a lot of different faces.
Yeah.
And it changes over time because I've found the people now.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, like I feel comfortable to surge forward, but then it always comes in waves, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why it's important. I don't know if y'all know, Mr. Robinson over here led a meditation with Word is Bond, shout out Lakiana, with some youth too. I feel like, in my opinion, is filling that gap, you know, which is like, keep doing what you're doing, bro. That's really what I'm trying to say, you know.
Likewise. Thank you, though. Yeah. But I think I think that's the unique position that we're both in, because like you foster leadership and community as well, and went to your kayaking tour with Black Men's Wellness. Shout out to Darrell and Nicole. But like seeing you in your element, and I think expressing our highest calling and sharing that with others allows the people in the community that care for you to set you up for success. Like that's the thing. It's like I've been friends with Lakiana for a couple of years. He showed up to the men's meditation that I led that you showed up to. That was the first time that we met.
Man. So through shout this out Gabriella, process, good looking. Yeah.
But it's like that's how this shit happens though. It was like you hit me up and we're like, and we hadn't even met each other or anything on Instagram, and you're like, oh, what's going on with this meditation? And like you showed up, and there was what, 12 other men, mostly men of color, who showed up to do a meditation with each other, and we're fostering each other into these new awaken spaces, like Lakiana providing me an opportunity to influence young men, 16, 17, 18 years old. Like that was him seeing the value in me and saying, I trust him to come in and do this. But it has to start with the willingness to put our message out there and express our needs so that when somebody's hearing on the other side of this, they're like, oh, like I got something that, that Malik can sink his teeth into. Like, I think that's what the importance of community is being comfortable enough to share what we do need. Cause it's like, for some people, it's just like, oh, that's like, now that I know, we can activate and do something about it. But if we keep everything to ourselves, it's like, we can't really move forward from that place.
Hello. Hey, so yeah, no, that's real. I mean, like you basically just passed me the mic. So I could, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just like, happening. Like, yeah, like no restrictor plates or nothing. It's like, I'm not here to police anybody. Nobody better fucking police me. It's like trust in our own brilliance. Like that's where it's at. Where like, there's a point where we have to like take the lead and just decide like, this is the way that things are going to go.
Yes.
And like have faith that it's going to work out that way. If that's the way that we've been imagining it, and walking into it and expecting certain things, then that's just what it's going to be. And if it doesn't turn into that, we could just readjust,
mm-hmm.
get right, get on our routine,
mm-hmm.
and then try it again.
If at first you don't succeed, come on now.
Dust yourself off and try again.
You already know. Hey, you also just dropped the gem, bro. Trust in your brilliance. Brilliance, bro. Mm-hmm. Brilliance. Your realness, too. Fuck you talking about?
Yeah, that might be the episode title.
Trust in your brilliance. Well, be realness. That's what I'm saying. It's supposed to be apostrophe after the B. You know, it's like brilliance.
Brilliance.
Trust in your brilliance. Yeah. Yo.
What's the role that the outdoors plays in your life? Because I feel like you have a relationship with nature that isn't so common in city dwelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always like being outside. I like being outside. And I was fortunate enough to go to the University of Redlands Johnson Center for Integrative Studies, where the campus is surrounded by mountains and palm trees and all this stuff. Stuff you don't see in Chicago, unless you got a National Geographic subscription. And basically, I went out there and was smoking a lot of weed, and a lot of my friends was like in outdoor programs, and grew up in different places where there was nature that was abundant. And I just started kicking it with them, and I was high. So everything looked real good, real nice. And I also like getting a nice tan, bronzing, you know what I mean? Shout out Bronzeville. But it started to take peak there, and I'll never forget, I was interviewing for this boot camp. It was called a Marcus, Eddie Murphy character in Boomerang. It was I Create Boot Camp, and I interviewed for this. It's for marketing, like a marketing joint. And I talked about trees the whole time. I thought I was spit hot fire. You know what I mean? I thought I was really creating the perfect analogies for a marketing plan. And basically, they didn't think so. And it was like, go talk to this person. That person is Will Redwine, who connected me with Pandora Thomas of Earthseed and the Black Permaculture Network. And Pandora really kind of, and Earth Activist Training, excuse me. Pandora kind of really just took me under her wing with another fellow, Region Lewis, and started taking me to all these conferences and stuff, and started showing me all these different opportunities that I could have with my skill set while working with Earth, that led to going to an Earth Activist Training with Pandora, Starhawk, and Charles Williams, and Sunshine Claymore, who really introduced the spiritual element per se into the earth. And growing up going to all these different educational institutions with these different creeds, I did realize something that everybody had in common was some sort of analogy to nature to help a person process something, to create a supplement to their belief system. And that, it just made sense to me. It wasn't nothing else that, it's the sun gonna shine, man. You know, the moon gonna come up. The grass is gonna grow, no matter what I do or say. And with that, it felt like something I could rely on. A belief system or a set of, ecology as like, I guess, a set of rules or something like that to process different bits of information, as well as create parallels with people, you know, whether they can see or not see, or feel or not feel, smell or not smell. There's something there in nature that a person can be not necessarily enticed by, but relate to, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And I'm with the relations. I'm working in human resources and relations right now with Impact Northwest, and it's they're great, they're wonderful, and it's just like bringing it back to nature now, and mostly want to say it came from me putting myself out there in a way that I thought was I was trusting in my brilliance in this interview, and got sent in a different direction that was way better than the initial one. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't have happened if I didn't go in there and talk how I talked, you know, in that time. And I don't have any regrets. That's kind of what led me to Portland. There's more trees and buildings. I got tired of seeing buildings out my window strictly. And wanted to be around more trees. And that's something I want to say, too. It's just like, I feel like Chicago is to buildings as Portland is to trees. It's like people doing the same sort of life processes and going through the same things, but just at different paces. I think I'm quick because I got to see buildings built in, you know, less than a year sometimes, whereas you plant a tree, you might have to wait 100 years and only know stories about when this was planted or whatever it was. And that, I think, just caters to a different thought process in some ways. And I enjoy studying it, too. It's like it all comes back to ecology, I feel like. So that's kind of what really got me in. And it hasn't proved me wrong yet.
Most definitely. Can we dive deeper into the spiritual component of nature? Because I feel like there is this, like, base level innate intelligence of nature that becomes expressed when we spend more time and kind of attune ourselves to the flow of nature and the energy of the environment. I think if we rid our programming and our experiences and offload our pain and projections and prejudice, I feel like nature, trees, plants, birds, animals will educate us if we open up our eyes and just to see what the natural flows of nature are from which we emerge from. Mm-hmm. I think that's the conversation I'm having a lot lately, is just knowing that, like, we are of nature, and this society that we live in tries to tell us that we are the metaverse. And I'm like, nah, that ain't it. That's not us.
Whoever's saying that, still, just like most other people, is going to be, you know, buried in the ground or, you know, cremated or something like that when their time comes. We all have a time, you know. That goes back to nature in some way or another. We decompose. I mean, take such a dark turn, but it's just like
that's
that place.
That's not dark at all. It's just what it is. It's like, when does truth become blasphemy? It's like, no, we're all going to die. And I think the people that recognize that, the earlier you recognize that, like, the less tight you hold on to the judgments and the prejudices. It's like, oh, like, why would I spend time and energy holding on to something that's impermanent? Oh, like, what can I appreciate in this moment? Because that feeling sensation in my body feels a lot better than this wall that I'm trying to build.
How can I open my presence, huh?
Yeah, how can I open my damn presence? What's inside of this box?
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you're passionate about these days that you've spent a lot of time thinking about?
A lot these days, my passion has come in the form of, I guess what I'll refer to as old reliables. You know, it's music and basketball and walking and that sort of thing, just things that I would often do to get myself in a place to process or to, you know, get my summer bod intact. That is manifested through just finding basketball courts that are abundant in Portland. Oh my goodness, there's so many basketball rims on the streets here, more than I've ever seen in my life. I could just be in the car or walking and see a rim and just go out and start shooting, and I'll shoot starting very close and move back after I make everyone. But if I make everyone, it don't count unless it's all net, unless it's, you know, perfect, because it's a way, I think, to balance the mind and the body to a place to reach a goal. Music has manifested through playing records. My friends Nick and Armani, they got crazy record collections out here. We spun a little bit earlier, but it's nice to touch the music. It's a lot with touch and senses and stuff like that. And those have been the main two. Been calling family more, reaching out to family more. And I haven't been hiking as much as I like to, but walking just in general. I mean, I consider walking from one block to the next a hike, depending on where I am, you know. I like to think sometimes as the different businesses, as different trees are like, you know, different bus stops and bus routes and max routes as the mycelial network, you know, that connects the city or connects whatever place. And with that, it's considered a hike or a walk to me. So it's been a lot of basketball, a lot of music, and a lot of walking these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's all in reach. It's like, I think a lot of people, I always say this, a lot of people, myself included,
the whole time,
but it's just like trying to make things more complicated than they have to be. Like, it has to be in the ecosystem of digital media, and it's like, if it's not useful for that, then it doesn't have any use to the person. It's like, is it monetizable and blah blah blah. It's like, nah, it doesn't. It's like, health isn't something that you should be thinking about monetizing. Health should be for you. Like, how do you, like, how do you center yourself, and how do you connect to the environment and form a real relationship with the ecosystem and with your own ecosystem? Because it's like, your ecosystem's whatever's around you and the spaces that you choose to inhabit. Like, whether that is a city or an island or a marshland, it's all part of your ecosystem. But how are you interacting with the ecosystem? Because there's healthy ways to interact with a city. And part of that would probably be, like, getting out of the city is part of the health practice.
I definitely see that as a thing. Yeah, one thing I noticed about being here is, like, a lot of people leave on the weekend, you know, to go do these hikes and stuff like that. And on that note, too, it's not about the money monetizing, but money does help sometimes, unfortunately.
Oh, it helps a lot.
It helps a lot. You know, you got to put gas in the car to go to the spot, pay for a camping pass or something like that. Well, you don't have to, right? It's an option.
I like BLMs.
Like Bureau of Land Management.
Like, that's, I don't like camping with a bunch of people. I'm like, I don't want to see like, people that are, have their whole life that they've lived, and then injecting that within the space that I want to, I want to speak just to nature. I don't want to see five kids with, like, life vests on running around, and their kid and their mom. Like, I don't want all that. I don't, I'm good.
Right,
like,
not today.
But yeah, I'm definitely, like, planning, like, a little like, nature festival type of situation. Get some speakers out at Timothy Lake and
shout out Big Tim.
I'm trying to do that shit soon. I'm like, get this camping equipment, get outside. Like, even the last, like, 2 weeks, I've been outside more than I have, like, in a long time. Like, back to back to back to back days in the sun, and I'm like, oh, this is where, this is where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, from SoCal, bro, of course.
Yeah, no, most definitely. But it's like, you forget very quickly when you're in a Portland winter.
Oh, man. That's when I hike the most, actually.
In the winter?
Yeah. I got to get it in, because if I don't, then I'm a sad boy. Sad man.
He's a bad boy.
You already know, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see. I always like talking. You know what? I want to talk about how I like to take deep breaths when I don't know the answer to the question. And maybe we could do one of those real quick.
Let's do that.
On your own count, y'all. You hear that hot breath? Yeah. All right, one more, one more. Yeah, I want to talk about how it's time for you to like and subscribe to the Opening Presence podcast, wherever you get podcasts.
I got to bribe everybody to do that. I got listeners that listen to this shit every week that probably haven't even left a five-star review.
That's all you got to do. You got to just hit them thumbs. You feel me? You could be thumbs and liking somebody patient who don't want to talk to you. Or you could just hit the five stars and go about your day. You feel me?
I know. It would go, it would go a long way for this hyper-professional podcast.
Yeah. And you know, that that's something, you know, I do know what I want to talk about. How it's not about, like, you know, the stuff being digitized and money and all that. But it's a good tool. It's a good tool, you know, if, you know, to all people listening out there, and I'm saying this with intentions to get better about it for myself. If you got a smartphone or just a camera you like to use, maybe, you know, allocate some time to just take pictures or something like that. You know, like, let's say you want to go for a walk or something. And I get, and I want to take your phone on walks. So I do that sometimes. But let's say you want to take a walk for 30 minutes. Just do 5 when you take pictures. Just, you know, it could be the middle 5. It could be whatever. Or just take your whole walk and think about where you like to take the pictures and stuff. And go back after you're done or something like that, as like a cool down activity or something like that. And walk again so you could get that screen off your brain, you know. So, yeah, I mean, these tools in these different environments. I heard a mention of observing and interacting. That is one of the first principles in permaculture that I like to think that I live by. That is, just observe and interact. See what's going on. And enter the space, you know. And I'm saying this knowing that different people of different backgrounds and genders and all this is, it makes for, it's not always easy. And by not always easy, I mean things like, are these people looking at me? Do I fit in? Do I smell good? That was maybe just for me. But like, you know what I mean? Just like, you know, the tools that we have can be used for many different things, but that's literally everything in life. It's two sides to every coin, dollar bill, anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all, that's hopefully something that made sense, and no, I appreciate y'all listening. Yeah.
No, it most definitely does. Yeah, we're the leaders of our life, and mm-hmm. It's like it's all about relationships. It's like it's easy to go off the deep end with certain things, but mm-hmm. then it's like you can cherish the media that you take. Like I've mm-hmm. today, like it's crazy that you say that, because today, like, I went back in my phone to look at like old stuff, and I found a video of my first ever art show in Portland, and my hair was just little bitty dreads, mm-hmm. and my face was fat because I was still drinking alcohol at that mm-hmm. time, and I was like showing the room, I was like showing the first painting that I'd ever sold, and it was like in Portland, and a friend of mine who's been on the podcast bought the painting, mm-hmm. and it was like a very pure moment of mm-hmm. this same journey. And like today I was looking back at videos of being on the porch in Youngstown, Ohio with mm-hmm. my grandparents mm-hmm. and my dad and my brother mm-hmm. and all of us just sitting on the and like then in that moment I'm like not like, oh, I'm gonna look at this 10 years later,
right,
12 years later. I was like, I had no hair then. I had a one mm-hmm. all the way around.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like that, yeah. sitting on the porch, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like mm-hmm. like this is something that I cherish, but in that moment, like, I didn't really see it. And that's how I feel about this conversation and all the conversations that we've been having. It's like, oh, like, this is something that lives on and mm-hmm. that we're going to appreciate, like, down the road. Like, you know how much I would want to have, like, just like a voicemail from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, like, mm-hmm. I wish I had a voicemail. Mm-hmm. I wish I did a podcast with I didn't do the podcast when, like, my mom was still mm-hmm. around, but it's like, I would give everything just to have one conversation or just a one voice note just mm-hmm. to hear her voice again.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's in hindsight, but it's like, we can create those sentimental moments right now. So when you're mm-hmm. saying like, hey, go on a walk, bring your camera, like maybe record a selfie video, just talking about what's been on your mind, mm-hmm. because 5 years later, like that same problem you may have been able to transcend and overcome, mm-hmm. and it's great to see like the growth in real time. So I think that message definitely resonates.
Yeah, documentation, bro. I mean, and then even that little selfie video, you ain't gotta send it to nobody.
No, you just hold on to it. But that's like a healthy way to interact with the media, as much as like we're trying to being forced into like wearing like VR goggles, and I have friends that deal in that space, but they make sure to spend time in nature. Mm-hmm. It's like one of my buddies like is very high up in like the whole VR space, but like we went out to a creek last week and we made like Chinese tea.
Oh yeah.
And shit, just like vibed out. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's granting ourselves that way to disconnect, but mm-hmm. then also tap in a more thoughtful way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
Man, I just want to share that they are beautiful. So I want to echo that first and foremost. And I welcome all of y'all to go look in the mirror, just say thank you, I love you, and wash your hands.
And your ass.
And your ass. Fuck
me. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
They can find me at Instagram, LeeQSol.Mullen, MULLEIN. Now that I say that, I'm probably going to change my name to something shorter. But you can find me there. You could also find me at twitch.tv/journeyinthesound_. And you could also find me in these scrinites, these streets, these paths, these trails.
Dope. Well, thank you, Malik. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.
We out.